I'd spent the last couple of days at an exhibition at the NEC in Birmingham, and not a location or a venue that I'd be altogether familiar with and potentially all that warmed towards. But it was a fairly successful couple of days on a number of levels. I'm going to start with the kind of end of the trip, which turned into a bit of a nightmare. I had been booked onto a Aer Lingus flight to fly back on Tuesday evening, which was cancelled without any kind of notice or no text message. Just you land at the desk at Birmingham Airport and flight's been cancelled. And so it was a bit of a pylon to get onto the EasyJet flight, which managed to get us back. But intrigued as to how Aer Lingus could kind of run a fairly successful business and literally abandon their passengers at the last minute. But I'm sure everyone has got a horror story to share about the aviation industry, and either from a business perspective or a holiday or vacation perspective. Anyway, at the exhibition, which was a commercial vehicle exhibition, there was only maybe one or two of the large OEMs, and Ford had a massive presence. They must have spent over $1 million at the event, and very few other manufacturers. No sign of Volkswagen, no sign of Peugeot, no sign of Toyota were there, but not in their full presence. They were there in their extreme vehicles and were represented by a different organization other than themselves. And then there were loads of other people, accessory supply chain into the automotive sector, specifically into commercial vehicles, into technology sector, and loads of just kind of bit part players, but all there hoping to make a difference to their business and extend their prospects and customers and what have you. And before the event, I would have said that these kind of shows don't really have become increasingly less and less important. The main decision makers typically tend not to be there. The first couple of days, or certainly the first day, is the suppliers trying to sell to other suppliers. And I would have said that if you were to look at the future, you would probably devote a lot of time or designate a lot of time and resource to account-based marketing, where you'd be able to target these organizations and you would have a clear run through the sales enablement technology, social media, breadcrumbs, whatever you want to call it, online, and then some just direct outreach, and Bob's your uncle. In the same way that people say today that social media is the only thing worth, or well, they don't say social media, but they say digital. So social media, digital, email, it's almost as if every other medium has become obsolete overnight because of technology. And whilst I want to make it clear that the technology isn't really the part of this conversation, and technology is really important, what I learned over the couple of days is that every medium and every channel, or as I would call outreach, every method of outreach has a place. Over the couple of days, we had discussions with people that we would never have had a chance to engage in otherwise. If we hadn't have been there, they wouldn't have been there. Serendipity, that moment of just bang, hello, how are you? And before you know it, you're talking in some great depth about stuff you mightn't have thought of before. You have really revealing conversations, and you're speaking to a brand that may in the future represent a seismic shift in your ability to be hugely profitable. Okay, so there was that. Excuse me. This thing that I have here is clearly a byproduct of spending time in a really, really badly air-conditioned environment where I'm just picking up the cold that maybe 80% of everybody else now has. So forgive me for the sniffling here. The second thing is the joy to watch technically gifted or really well-educated salespeople in action. So some of the people on the stand and other people that I'd watched who were clearly experts in their field, when they started to talk to customers or prospects, it was clear to see which had come first. So these were technically gifted people in engineering who were able to sell, rather than salespeople who had learnt the engineering stuff. And I think it's really, really important to acknowledge that every single B2B sale is an educational sale. It's educational marketing. It's content-based. It's value-based. It's all about understanding the what you do and where it's important and how it fits into the customer you're talking to. And a salesperson gravitates typically towards the, do you want to buy from us? And the engineer who's gifted and very, very intelligent in the consequences of what they sell gravitate towards what your problem is. And I saw 3 or 4 guys in action who were really, really brilliant. And it kind of restored a lot of faith in the view that I would have, is that you need really, really smart people in the field. Working in sales for 20 years, flipping, you know, working from different companies is going to be very, very difficult. Working for 10 years doing that, or doubling down exclusively on a particular sector where your skill set is really, really clear, very evident and very, very valued. You have people who are generalists, people who are specialists. And I think that sweet spot of an educated technical salesperson is that point of convergence where the generalist can become a specialist. And that's going back to the 3 R's, recruitment, retention, which will drive the revenue, and onboarding, and how much time do you spend fully getting your people up to speed and crash tested before you let them out in the streets. real challenge to a lot of businesses today, because they want the seat filled and they want sales moving really quickly. And that's probably, or could be potentially, at the expense of churning some businesses who just don't think that you're at the right level to be talking to them. The other lesson on the way home was just like letting the universe take its course and plot its own journey for you. When I moved on to the EasyJet flight, I ended up sitting beside a guy that I had seen on the way over. I hadn't got speaking to, but I'd known him from a kind of a past life about 15 years ago. He's owner, MD or CEO of a fairly large construction company, and we sat down and talked about, reminisced about the old days for about 45 minutes. Very, very kindly offered to take me from one airport, the international, to the city where I had parked my car, saving me probably 15 minutes to half an hour and probably about £60, and just complete generosity of spirit, just no problem, dropped me off. And on the way over we talked about what we were doing, and he said, told him what I was doing, and he said, yeah, we'd be interested in that, give me a call. And so there were 2 examples over the course of a couple of days where are not necessarily counter to account-based marketing, but they are really, really important in developing meaningful relationships with people and utilizing those relationships, and kind of reminds me about the importance of just trying to be decent to people as best you can, and being yourself. And when I say be yourself, I mean let the part of you that's good at making relationships effortlessly. Sometimes sales can be just a real effort for people. I find it a real effort to fill in that this is what I'm supposed to be in the sales role, but actually in the sales role what you're supposed to be is competent and personable and listener and attentive and all those human characteristics that are ignored by many of the sales books or ignored by many modules of sales training, where you're focusing on the specific sales skills, when they're really the biggest sales skill and the biggest soft skill that everybody talks about is just being yourself, being human, trying to engage with people. The challenge then becomes finding yourself in the right industry where you want to sell. It's really hard to pretend you're interested in something that deep down you've no interest in whatsoever. And conversely, if you're interested in something and you love what you do, a la engineering, then you find that your ability to engage just flows. You become the expert. You are the expert, but it looks as if you've spent the 10,000 hours, or as Dave Lee Roth would say, the 40,000 hours or the 60,000 hours, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you have spent 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you like music, how can you turn music into something you can make money out of? Which is a question I'm asking myself. I love music. How could I make that in some way monetizable? Is there an area that I could use that might only have a narrow cast audience, but an audience that would love what I would produce or create, not musical content, but a discussion around musical content, as an example. Okay, so if you love engineering, or if you're really curious about the dynamics of batteries and storage, a conversation that I stumbled on over the last 2 days when I heard two experts talking about batteries, you know, I couldn't have jumped into my own grave quickly enough. And yet these guys were completely in unison talking about something they were very passionate about, which was a joy to listen to, I have to say. It was a real joy to listen to. But, well, I don't have to say it was a real joy to listen to, because it clearly wasn't a joy to listen to. But it was a joy to watch. It was nice to see that kind of connectivity at an exhibition where like-minded people talk about like-minded things. So exhibitions do have a place. They're costly. They're mainly driven by the, well, can we afford not to be here? They're also driven by the, we've been here for years and we can't not be here, so we've always done it, let's keep on doing it. And so how do you elevate your presence? How do you become more engaging? How do you make your stand more appealing? How do you make your people more enthusiastic? How do you get them more skilled up? And that becomes a sideshow. So between now and the next exhibition, which that business, and we will most likely attend it next year, how can we do the things better that we did okay this year? How can we stop things that didn't work? How can we identify those things that didn't work? And that will take a lot of effort on our part. But we ended up speaking to, I had a couple of conversations with people that there's no way I would have been able to reach out to in account-based marketing. There was not a chance, you know. And they came to us. They were on our site. Two guys from an OEM who were trying to be really, really mysterious, but were very clumsy at it and had a lot of fun at their Pink Panther, Kato, and Inspector Clouseau kind of questioning techniques. And also, I think the thing is that you can very, very quickly discover your own personal gaps, the intelligence gaps, the skills gaps. And when you're on the stand and you've got to be presenting yourself as an ambassador and a business owner, then you need to be on top of your game too, because the expectation universally is that you're there for a reason. And that was my own personal lesson. So yeah, long live the exhibitions, long live the NEC, and Aer Lingus, get your shit together. And but at the same time, thanks for putting me beside a guy on the EasyJet flight that I haven't spoken to for ages. In the words of Dave Allen, may your God go with you.